So we are Kuf Yud Tes Gimel. We discussed in Aleph and Beis the idea that a person is who you can trust, right? And who you can trust to eat by them, to stay by them, and if they offer to you privately, not to sell, so that they get a little bit more level of trust. They pointed out that the Chofetz Binyamin says that nowadays there is, again, where the sources are for this are unclear, but there is a gezeira right now that to not buy things without a hechsher, meaning though technically you might be able to give people a little bit more nemanus, but we generally will abstain from buying food from anybody that is not carrying a reasonable hechsher. So, okay, so Gimel and Dalet. Gimel seems to almost be a complete contradiction of what we learned in Kuf Yud Ches. Gimel, Kuf Yud Ches is all about what we call Basar Shenis Alim Min Ayin, right? That you give Basar to somebody else for them to watch, and you have to be concerned that they might have switched it, they might have traded it, etc. However, so what does Gimel say? And remember, even also in Gimel, in Kuf Yud Ches, we had this idea with a guy who was more makel on things than other people normally would be, and we have a concern about him as well. Right? So it seems like it should be a problem. But what about in Gimel? In Gimel, all of a sudden, we have the following idea. Let's read it in the tour. Gimel, v'afilu hachashud le'achol dvarim hasurim eina iser ela shelo le'achol mishelo. That if a person is chashud, that we are concerned that he eats non-kosher food, the only prohibition would be that we shouldn't eat his food. Aval yachol li'tein lo mishelo she'yiskein lo v'lo chayshin Hashem yigzol v'echlifenu mishelo. However, if we have food that we need him to watch, we can give it to him to watch, no problem. And we don't have to be concerned that he's going to switch it up, right? So that's a little bit why that's already a challenge, right? That seems to go against what we learned in the previous sermon, that there is a problem of giving it to people.
So, he talking low, what does that mean? That he'll
fix it up. He'll add his own ingredients. He'll.
So we don't have to be.
You don't have to be concerned for such a thing. So the tour continues and says, "Vamedvar mamur and bistam," right? Regular person, you give a regular person something to watch, they're not going to futz around with it. About inosim lamisha choshish b'techno aser shem yiskal kel mashinosin. But if you give it to somebody who you are concerned that they may try to fix it up, that would be prohibited. Why shem yiskal kel mashinosin? That they're going to mess up that which you gave them. Who yachliv hamiskal kel bil shelo, and they're going to. Sorry, that yiskalkel mashinosin lo, that which you gave them will become ruined, right? The food will become ruined, and they're going to switch it with something else, right? So what is the classic example of somebody that you would give something to them and say, oh, just watch this, don't do anything, don't bother with it, right? And they're going to go and they're going to fix it and they're going to make it better, etc. What's the classic example of such a person, right? A mother-in-law. Right? And that's the example that's given here. Right? By Ketza, for like what? Haresh and Nasim Lechamosa. Let's say you give to your mother-in-law. Right? And your mother-in-law is not so from. Right? Your mother-in-law is Chashid. Right? So you give her something. Watch. Don't touch it. Right? And what's going to happen? Right? Shabusha Michasna Verotza B'Takanapita. She's going to be embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. You can't have such a food. What's my daughter going to eat? Right? We're Choshish that she's going to switch it up. She's on the list of people that you can't even have them watch your food if we are concerned that they're not going to.
Why is she switching it up?
Because maybe it will spoil, right? It started getting this little smell that came out of it. No, that's barbecue sauce, right? But we're concerned that she's the person that might. V'chein hanosim lepundakis to an innkeeper. Pamim shehi busha min haksanayu machlefes lo tov bara v'chein kol kiyosi v'zeh. So she also, we're concerned that she might be prone to switch things up. So I don't think these are innkeepers like the manager at a Holiday Inn. Right? This is talking about an inn in the good old days where they cook for you, whatever, and you give them food. You give them food to hold on to you. So we're concerned that they're going to switch it up. Where is this based on? So this is there's no mesefta chashud. There's no mesefta. Right? There's no perek, specific perek of people of how to deal with people that we're nervous about. So these are drawn from random places throughout Shas. So this is actually learned out from a. The Beis Yosef quotes this from a Gemara in Chulin, right? That pretty much says what we said. Yeah, the Gemara there says what we said, and the Gemara there gives the exceptions to what we said. actually the exceptions to what we said are actually listed in Mishnayos and Demai. Right? Demai is also Demai. The truth is, I shouldn't say there's no Masechta Devot people that are that we are choshesh for. All of Masechta Demai is actually devoted to that concept. Right? There's just no Gemara on it. Right? What is Demai? Demai is food that we don't know whether the person took off Trumas or Meisers, and we assume that they probably didn't take off Truma and Meiser. Because they don't seem to be like the kind of people that are going to take. Sorry, not Truma, Meiser. Meiser. Yeah. They would take off Truma, but they wouldn't take off Meiser. So we have to be concerned. So that whole Masechta is dealing with that, and those Mishnayos are sprinkled throughout Shas. So that is. That's Gimel. Fine.
I'm just troubled by this word. You're talking, because if you're giving it to him just to watch, okay, I can understand it, but you actually give it to the person that's chosha to do something with, I don't, that's...
What do you mean?
So it says in the Tavah, Yochol Litan Lo Mishalo Shei Yitokan Lo. Maybe I'm misreading it, that he will do something to fix it. You can give it to him, something that belongs to you, so that he will do something to it. Fix it up, right? And we're not afraid that he's going
to... You give it to him to... if you look at the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef actually quotes the Brisa from the Gemara. So the Brisa says, Tanya Hanotin L'Shechna. So, Isa Lafos V'Kedera L'Vashah.
You give it to him to bake.
Give it
in the bake.
Okay. Right.
I can understand that now.
Right. That was for many centuries, right? My grandmother, Live and Be Well, was... They did this, there was the baker with the oven, and they would all leave, bring their children there on Erev Shabbos, and then they would try to find theirs on Shabbos. There was the children schlepper. There was a guy in charge of bringing it around to give out the children. There's actually a picture, I've seen a picture of this, of a guy with had belts with hooks on them to carry around pots of cholent.
Keep them out of the way so they won't burn.
I can't.
What if the
eruv is down? Then you have a problem. That's why they made sure that the eruv was up. Okay, so all right, maybe we'll turn to the Shulchan Aruch now. We'll come back. So hold your spot here, because they're kind of our different topics, Gimel and Dalet. So. So what does it say in Gimel? So Sif Gimel is Mutter Litin Mishul L'Chashad Lechol Dvar Ma'asurim Kishi Takin O Yivasho. So here it's clear. By Velo Chashinan Shema Yachli Fen. Right? Takin might mean that they're going to put in a few spices. Right? We're not concerned they're going to totally change things or switch it around. Kimash Eino Chashad Al Gezel. Plus they're not Choshish for Gezel. V'Nosein L'Mi Shechoshish B'Tekanaso V'Hu Chashad Lechol Dvar Ma'asurim Aser. However, you give it to somebody that you are concerned about their fixing, and you're afraid that, and they do eat things that are usser, so then it would be a problem, because perhaps they might mess it up. They might eat what you give them, and then they'll put in their own. Right, you give to your mother-in-law. Hachashuda al iser, that is choshish for this, that violates prohibitions. Aser, right? Shibusha michasna v'rotza p'takana bita v'lefichach machlefas lo ravatov. She's going to be embarrassed about her son-in-law. I can't believe you eat such things. All right, let me give you better food. My daughter should eat better food, right? And therefore, they're going to switch it. She's going to switch the good food for the bad food, or the bad food for the good food, depending on your perspective, right? And therefore, you have a problem. Similarly, right, somebody gives to this innkeeper hachashuda pamim that their time the ichsanai is going to be embarrassed. Right, he's giving food out. I think the scenario might be he's giving food out to his guests. So all of a sudden, he gives food out to this guest. It's like, the guy. What's going to be with the next guy in line? Right, he's going to be like, I don't want that. Right, so it might be in the innkeeper's interest to make it look better. Right, we call makom, says the Rama, mutter lahafkid etzlo v'shiyachzor lo hadvarim kamo shevkido. However, it is permissible to deposit with him v'shiyachsel hadvarim as exactly as you gave it to them. Meaning, if you give them distinct instructions, do not touch it at all. Right, not just put in your oven or put in your oven. Don't do anything else, but don't touch it at all. Right, so then says the Ramo, even the rest of the week permissible. Sounds like even a chashter person you would be okay. So the Shach asks in Zion, right? He says, "What happened? What happened in the previous siman, right? Where this sounded like to be a problem, right? V'had the mashma in Shach Zion, right? So v'had the mashma medivri hator b'sim kuf yuches medivri harav sham sif aleph Yisrael chashud in mafkid netzlo, that is Yisrael chashud. You shouldn't deposit anything why in davar isra min haTorah, right? Ela b'shnei chosmos v'davar asr min derabanan v'chosim echad, right? That the idea of basur shnis ali min ayin applies to a Yisrael Chashud, and that is only a deposit. So why all of a sudden here are we saying, well, you know, only if you're asking them to fix it up or to bake it or to cook it or whatever, right? So then you shouldn't give it to them. But what does it sound like? If you're asking them just to put it in their fridge, right, that should be okay, right? So what's happened? What happened to what we learned one siman earlier? So the Gemara, so the Shach answers, Hasam Mairi Shehu Chashud Lahachlif V'Kitzar. That must be talking about a case where we are Choshesh that they would flip it. V'Kitzar Shamadarfi Shalo Nachli Lefarushi Hasam Ezu Nikra Chashud. And it just shortened it there, but didn't want to get into what is considered chashud. Okay, so that's a little odd. I mean, it's a little hard to fathom, right? And, well, he didn't get into all the details over there. Okay, uve beis ches. Uve bach, right? Uve bach and uve bach. Okay, in the bach. Perish. The Hasamairi that over there, that he's talking about Shu Chashud Lechol Dvarim She'ein Harabim Regilin Lahakil Behen. The Azu Chashud Lahachlif. He says, and that's the case where that guy who always comes up with all the kulas, right? He actually is making on things that most people are not lenient on, right? So for most people can understand, right? I eat things, you don't eat, so don't switch it, right? But this guy, right? He might be more likely to switch it because he says, well, this is much is permissible. Right, I'll take a bite. I know it's kosher and I know it's not kosher. Right, I know what a good hechsher is, right? I'll switch it and shouldn't be a problem, right? So we're more concerned about that guy than we are about giving to somebody who really isn't keeping kosher, right? Which is an interesting point. Okay.
It's just like a Jewish person who's not observant. He might say, "Oh yeah."
Oh, I know. Yeah. The previous
as a non-Jew might have much more respect for the laws. You know?
Right. 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 The Ches, right? He added in v'lo chashin. We're not concerned that they're going to switch it up, right? So the Shulchan Aruch said, "Kivan she'enu chashed al hagezel," which we're not concerned that they're going to rob. So the Shach adds in, so even though they are chashed to sell, right? That right, this guy that is chashed, we're not allowed to purchase things from him, right? So we explain that even though he might be strict on his own, the people are more likely to be lenient with regards to what they sell. Right, so he says, even though he might sell things that aren't that are a problem, right? That I knew dafka limkor, that's dafka to sell. Because what he sells, he says, look, buyer beware. The person can ask me if they want, you know, whatever. All right, but to take the food and to switch it up with different food, right? That already is another level that we're not going to be that we're not going to be strict for. Right, the last the Shach and Tess is saying that if you could figure out a way that the Achsanai is not the Achsanai, the Pundakis is not going to switch it around, so then you could be okay. Meaning, if you could somehow put in a clause like they're clear, right? To don't switch it around, because the Shach suggests that why would the Pundakis switch it around? What's really in their interest? So we said it before, because what's the other guy going to think? So the Shach gives a different answer. The Shach says the Pundakis is going to be motivated to switch it around. Why? Plus, you're going to give a better tip. That's what That's what the Shach explains. So the Shach turns around and says, okay, so if you make it clear to the person that I will give you the biggest tip if I get back exactly what I gave you, right, regardless of how bad it looks to you, right, so then you don't have to be concerned. So there's a way around that issue. Again, I can't figure out how this would. The only thing I could think of Bisman Hazeh would fit in is if you have like a non-religious babysitter, and you tell them like, this is the food that we want you to give the kids, right? So I was wondering maybe that could fit in. Or you have like somebody, what are they called, like an au pair, is that what they're called, right? So you have like an au pair, they could somehow figure out a way that would fit in. It's in their interest to make their food, your food, look better. They might put in something else.
Women who take care of my mother. That's a concern.
Right.
And we had to speak with them because they can bring in their own food for themselves. But they can say, they have said, I mean, in a way, let's do something a little bit.
Right.
Let's put a little whipped cream on top of the applesauce or whatever, right? So we had to be very clear with them because that is a concern.
Yeah.
This is exactly the kind of food she eats. This is another, that kind of thing.
Okay. Good. I was listening they had these on YU Torah right now. A little ad. They had these Yeshiva Kotel ran these like Yom Iyuns, like one in the five towns, one in Teaneck, where they just had like all of these, like every school had to send an educator to give one presentation. So there are a lot of excellent presentations right now that just went up on YU Torah. So one of them, Rabbi Rothwax, not the rabbi, the brother of the Rabbi Beth Aaron, Rabbi Rothwax, I think, runs Sinai, which is like their Patach, or we have here. For kids that aren't necessarily mainstream. So he was discussing that there's a plan. Sometimes you make a plan. It wasn't just about how to deal with mainstream kids that are having learning difficulties. That are on the lower end of the class. So he says that sometimes you develop a plan and you work out the plan. It's wonderful. But sometimes that plan, even if it looks like it's doing wonderfully, you have to go back and check it out again. And the example he gave was, this is when we got married, my mother made the most amazing potato kugel. And the first Shabbos, my wife tried making the potato kugel, and it didn't work. And I said, and that Saturday night, I told her, listen, we have to make a deal, that if the food is no good, you have to allow me to tell you, right? Because otherwise I'm going to be stuck suffering for 30. So the potato kugel just wasn't good. And they worked on it, a month ago, finally, the third month, they work on it, and they worked it out, and they finally had a good potato kugel. It was wonderful. So then the next week, they tried doing the same thing again, and they realized it didn't work. So why? What? They went back the week before. What exactly did that? And then she remembered. Now I remember. We ran out of flour, and I accidentally used pancake mix, which was melt mix.
So that's what the mother
used. No. They just made a mistake. I'm not sure how the person can make them. Whatever. Somehow they made that mistake. They used pancake mix instead of flour. So even though the plan seemed to work, that they had this wonderful potato kugel, right? Unfortunately, it had to be changed because it was not kosher. Or it was kosher, but it was dairy.
You know, we're dealing with it too. When we first got married, I love what my wife made. Burnt everything, and I eat burnt. That's what I love. She thought everything was bad, and I was just being nice by saying, "Oh, it's really good. It's really good." So she learned how to, and then I said, "I don't like it anymore."
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the well done stuff, the burnt stuff?
What's I've eaten at your house,
huh?
Delicious. It's not burnt at all.
Thank you. No, this is only first time.
But you learned that.
I learned that.
Yeah. All right, let's go back to the base usage for Dalet. So Dalet is important to love. Dalet and Hey, but also I'm not sure how they practically work out. But the Dalet and Hey, really the tour is quoting from these Gemaras and Bechoros of all places. About a daf worth of Gemaras and Bechoros spell out the following theme in the tour. So you'll read in the tour. Achashel davar echad, the person is choshish for one specific thing. So eino choshish for machir, right? So they have this thing for, well, Yai Nesaf is a bad example, right? But they have a thing for, I don't know, chalev, right? For non for fats that are that you're not allowed to eat. Right, so they have a thing specifically for that, right? So you don't have to be concerned about other things, or do you? Right? So about kol mashet tzarich chashul davrachad einu chashul ledvar macherim aval kol mashet tzarich leoso davr, whatever is necessary for that thing chashul gamalav, they're also choshesh for that. What does that mean? Kahi kahu uvda the isi bebuchoros, like the example that's given in Bechoros, betavach with a butcher. Right, Shahaya Chashur Limkor Chalev Makum Shuman. That they thought that he was selling Chalev instead of Shuman. Shuman again is permissible fat and Chalev is prohibited fat, but they look exactly the same. Right? But Kansu also, they put a knas on him, Shalo Limkor Afilu Egozim, that he wasn't even gonna be allowed to sell nuts. Why? The Shaya Margil Hanarim Lavoilav Liknosumi Menu Begozim Shahaya Nosin Lahem. Right, because the children used to go to him to purchase from him nuts, shayinosin lahem, that he would give to them. I mean, why would they come to his store? Because he was giving out nuts to the kids, right? Like, why do they put out lollipops in the cleaners, right? So my kids want to go to the cleaners now to get the lollipop, right? I will call shar hadvarm she'inan tzrichin klal l'davar shehu chashur lav l'tarm l'tosumen. Anything that isn't necessary at all, so that it would be permissible to purchase from them, right? So the truth is that nut case is not exactly the way that it's presented in the Gemara.
I mean, because nuts have nothing to do with the shita. There's something that happens to be in a shop.
Well, that's his point. The way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch is that it doesn't matter, because the way you're getting them to buy the meat is by giving out nuts. They're saying water would be okay, or lighter fluid would be okay, right? But because the nuts are direct... hard to say directly, but somewhat directly are related to the selling of the meat, so it's going to be a problem. So I looked up the Gemara inside. I don't remember exactly what's in the Beis Yosef, but let's take a look in the Beis Yosef at the Gemara itself. All right, the Gemara in Bechoro says in Dalet, right, Perek Ad Kama, Tanan, Hachoshu...
Wait a second, a word?
In the Beis Yosef.
Oh, and Dalet, okay.
Right, so Tanan, it's a Mishnah. Hachashav liyos mocher truma l'shum chulin, that you're selling truma in the place of chulin. Right, so ein lochem mimenu afilu mayu melech. You're not allowed to buy anything from them, even water and salt. So water and salt have nothing to do with truma. Right, you're not allowed to buy that from them. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Right, Rabbi Shimon Omer, no kol sheishbo zikas truma umaisus. So anything that has truma and maisus in it, ein lochem, that you're not allowed to buy from them. But anything that has nothing to do with truma maisur, so then it would be okay. So you'd be allowed to buy water and salt. So Gemara says leisui mai. The Gemara says to include what? Leisui karve dugim dema'arvi behu shemen zayis. Right? That if you have a fish that have oil in it, right, that's going to be a problem. Why? Because the oil is subject to truma, and therefore it's in the fish, and therefore you have to be a problem with it. By the way, he adds in, when we have a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, right? So the more makel position in that mishnah, so you would be allowed to buy other things.
The guy that's suspect of switching truma with chulin, you can buy the fish from him even though it has oil on it. Is that what I heard you say?
No, you're not allowed to.
You're saying
it's kol kiyotzi b'zeh. It's coming to include what? It's coming to include things that are going to have those ingredients. So then the Gemara goes on and talks about this nut case, right? And that the nut case, that's right. He doesn't quote it. Gamza beperakat kam. It's also in the parak there. So I have to tell it to you outside. The Gemara, the case of the nuts is presented in the Gemara. If I understood it correctly, I'm not sure, but I think, and it's a little difficult because it seems to be against the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch, is the case there is that the butcher was giving nuts to the kids. So that they would go to their parents, who are also butchers, and grab all of their shum, and grab all of their chalef. Right? So he's saying, oh, he's not allowed to be. So that's a little bit more connected, right? That's already, you're not allowed to be in the nut business, because you're using nuts in order to acquire the chalef. Right, but that's not the way it's presented in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef doesn't really present. It's not the way it's presented in the Torah. It's not the way it's presented in Shulchan Aruch. So I'm not sure how it shifted like that. We can do one more. We'll do the next section here. In says mihu in the Torah, umihu hachashed ledavar chamor hu chashed gam ledavar hakal mimenu. That if you choshesh for some chashed, if you are suspect with regards to something that is strict, you're also chashed with regards to things that are lesser prohibitions. Afilu ein hachamor chamor mimenu ba'onesh ala shechamor be'ini b'nei adam shezihirim bo yosir mibazeh. He says, and not just how do you decide what's more strict and what's less strict? So the obvious thing is to say the punishment, right? Which has the worst punishment? So if you are obligated on something that is an iser kares, so then not obligated. If you are suspect with something that is kares, so even things that are less than that are going to be okay. We're going to suspect you about. But then he adds in not only if that's technically halakhically easier punishment, but it also is subject to the views of people. So if people consider it a worse prohibition, even though technically it might not be as bad a prohibition, right? That also is going to be thrown in. So that's Sif A. So let's take a look at the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. That's also, by the way, the Gemara. The Gemara in Bechoros has that idea as well. So so in Shulchan Aruch, Dalet, right? Hachashud the Davar. So a chashul davar echad, in a chashul davar machirim, right? You're not choshish for other things. Aval kol mashet tzarech lo, so davar chashul gam malav, right? Kagon, for example, and it gives the case with the nuts. Mishaya chashul limkor chelav amakum shuman, v'haya margil hana'arim lavo liknos v'menu be'agozim. And you get the children to come and purchase from you because of the agozim. He says it clearly, right? Shayinosa, that you give to them. Right, kodesin oso shelo yimkar filu agozim. Right, we put a knas on him that he can't even sell the agozim. Right, so that how that plays out, I'm not. I don't know. Yeah. Okay, and then hey is so in hey then it has the other example, right? Hachashur al iser chamor, if we are suspect about a stringent prohibition, hachashur al akal mimenu ba'onesh, ella im kain chamor be'ine b'nei adam shenizharim bo yosur mi b'chamor. So unless it is more strict in the eyes of people, in which case that would be that they're more careful about it more than the chamor. So the mechaber spells it out a little bit differently than the way you read in the Torah. Right? The Torah seems to say either or, right? You're chashed on, you're suspected on, we're going to suspect you about either things that have a lesser prohibition, or B, things that people take less seriously. It seems like either or. The Mechaber says, no, it's not that way. Mutually exclusive.
The punishment is less, but people look at it more seriously.
Right. If the punishment is less, but people look at it more seriously, so then you're going to not be chashed on that. That's the big kula.
Really?
That's the kula that the Mechaber is giving to you. Right. If people look, Shafu's example, or the Mechelkas B'Yamin's example is that Chelev is an Isser Karis. Right? Eating a pig is an Isser Lav. Right, now you ask a standard Jew on the street, what's worse, eating chalev or eating pig? Right? So most are going to say eating pig. Right? Fine. So now if you are suspected of selling chalev, right? So according to the way we read it in the Torah, you're also going to be suspected of selling pig. Right? Because because that is a lesser prohibition. People look at it, take it more seriously. Right? Is okay, but it's either or, right? It's either, right? The only way that you would not be suspected is if something that is for sure much, much worse and everybody takes it more seriously, which I'm not sure anybody takes anything more seriously than pig. So I can't think of a cheeseburger might be considered worse than pig, or maybe not. I don't know. Cheeseburger is probably halachically worse than pig. It is right? It's a iser hana. I don't know. So, But according to the way the Shulchan Aruch is recording it, he's saying no. Achashed alat, right? He's saying it's either or. So the Shach in Yud Gimel jumps on him for that, and he says no. He says it's either or the way we read it the first time, and that's against the Mechaber, although that is a very long Shach. Right in the middle of it, he spells it out. He says, right in the middle of that shach, it says the word umihu. Umihu calls out lo airi ela hachashdal davar hachamur bein ba'onish bein ba'ine habrios. You see what that is? Umihu?
Right here. Umihu calls lo airi ela hachashdal davar hachamur. It's about right around here. So the tzarek aleph abbreviation right next to it.
Yeah. Okay, so he says, "Umihu calls out lo airi el hachashal davar achamar bein beonish bein beini abrius." Is only if something is worse in the eyes of whether by punishment or by in the view of people. Shachashal davar akamim menu imehim min iser echad kigon sheshneim bedavar meichel v'chiyotzi bo halav hachi lo. He says also, he says, but he adds in, however. That they have to be the same min iser. They have to be the same category of prohibitions. For example, they both have to do with things that you eat. Right? But halav hachi, but if it's not that way, lo. So for example, if a person is chashed for things, you know, they don't necessarily eat kosher, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be, well, it would be the opposite. Right? Shabbos is considered more chamor than kashrus. Right, so just because a person isn't shomer Shabbos doesn't necessarily mean that we can't trust their kashrus. Right? Even though kashrus is a lower level prohibition than Shabbos, right? The Shach is saying that that idea that the lower that you have to be choshish for things on a lower level, that's only when they're in the same category of prohibitions. But if it's a total different area of halacha, so then it could be that it's different. So these are.
That also falls into the a little bit perhaps into the what the eyes of the beholder, because there are people I think who are very mocked on what they eat but will drive on Shabbos.
Right.
So even though the driving's worse to them, eating the treif would be worse.
Right. So that's what he's saying. So even though they're driving on Shabbos, you can. A trust, for you could trust their kashrus.
Right.
Now, often, practically, I don't know how to play that.
I always thought that the sort of being Shomer Shabbos was kind of the sort of the indicator.
You're right. Truth is, Shabbos is a bad example. You're right. Shabbos was a bad example because Shabbos is considered. If one is Mechal Shabbos for Hesia, so then that blankets everything.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Shabbos, that's why I said Yayin Nesach also isn't a good example. Yayin Nesach, really Yayin Nesach is a form of Vurazara. So those two things that Gemara and Chulun says are if you violate those, then you're choshesh for everything else. So that's not the best example. But Gilei Arayos, if a person sleeps around, right, he can still trust their kashrus. That seems to be what's coming out from this shach, which is, gotta figure out how that would play out. Vav has to do
that. I still think that, you know, there are people, at least in America, who believe that the kashrus is more chamer than Shabbos.
Yeah, so
probably more people.
Ravadi Yosef has a tshuva that he, Bini Blau, when he was here, he quoted that tshuva, Ravadi Yosef. There's the idea of Yaakov Ettlinger, where he talks to Mchal Shasher Fehesi, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're outside the Klal anymore because he uses the Tinuk Shadishma. But Ravadi Yosef spells it, because you don't know any better. Ravadi Yosef spells it out, I think, in a much, probably, more fitting way for what really is. He said, "How could you call somebody Mechal Shabbos for Hesia if they make Kiddush on Friday night?" Right. So yes, it's true they might drive to shul, and yes, it's true they might do right. But if they make Kiddush on Friday night, so they obviously recognize right. The whole reason that why Shabbos is considered the worst thing in the world, and right, it's considered you're throwing everything away because you're denying that a Kiddush Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam. That's what it says in the Gemara. So if you're making Kiddush Friday night, you're not denying that Hashem is the Borei Olam. You're declaring that Hashem is the Borei Olam. I'm just going to drive. You know, things just aren't binding anymore. Right? So it's whether that will fit today, you need people greater than me.
Like
yeah.
Still
are.
But in my youth, I mean, there were people in Oval Park who would daven and come to shul and shout, and they get in the car and drive to work.
Right.
That's how the Ashkenazim got started. I thought that.
Yes, that is. I've heard that. That's what they say.
They weren't necessarily denigrating Shabbos by driving to work. They felt that, it's not so bad.
Right. Or you have a choice, or whatever. Yeah. But yeah. Or America's different.
So I'm not sure what Rabbi Bar Yosef is saying. You're saying because they make Kiddush and they do some parts of Shabbos, therefore they're not denying it.
So they're not considered like a
Lulav. They're not denying Bar
Yosef. See, I'm a little nervous about trusting Kashrut, going all there. Because I think nowadays there's more of a knowledge, there's like a knowledge issue. That's there. I mean, kashrus now is a lot more complicated than keeping kashrus 100 years ago. Right? 100 years ago, you had to know that I have to buy kosher meat from the kosher butcher and I can't mix milk and meat. Right? But nowadays we have ingredient. You know, like there's a lot more things that are complicated, I think. That's my impression. So, you know, I'm afraid to say, we'll trust our kashrus. There's often going to be a knowledge gap. That's just practically going to be there.
I was just trying to figure out
what he's saying is that if a person is mechal shas for hesia, so if you look in Shulchan Aruch, they lose their privileges of being Jewish, right? Wow. So they're considered not Jewish with regards to public positive things. So for example, you can't invite them for a yontif meal. That's explicit in Shulchan Aruch. Mechal shas for hesia, you're not allowed to invite them for a yontif meal. Just like you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew for a yontif meal. Right? You can't trust them for chalitza. But Mechalash Esther for Hesia, you can't trust them for chalitza, they're considered not Jewish, you gotta find a different brother. Right? So, he's saying that what we call Mechalash Esther for Hesia, somebody who's driving on Shabbos, in those days it meant that guy's denying that Hashem. Nowadays it means that he makes Kiddush, can often mean to make Kiddush Friday night, they have chal, they have a suda, and then they drive home. Right? Or then they turn off then they turn the lights and then they watch TV. Right? So you can't say that they're denying the Borei Olam, they're just denying the importance of that mitzvah.
In Israel, many, because he was Sephardic.
Okay.
Sephardic rabbi for many Sephardic.